Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And welcome into the playbook for a Thursday on Patriots.com radio. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy new year, Feliz Navidad. We'll continue on with that thought process. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino is in the locker room with the Patriots players wrapping up practice this afternoon, so he will join us shortly. As the boys from PFW just said, it's a kind of an action-packed show today. We're going to try to accomplish, or maybe it's better put, maybe we're going to try to kill several birds with just one stone today, because we will recap a bit from your thoughts, since we've had the holidays over the last 2 days on this time slot, for the Baltimore game this last week. We also have to do some previewing of Buffalo. And, there are other things that are on the agenda that I'm sure that we'll get to throughout the course of the program. So, no time like the present. You got some thoughts on Baltimore. You got some thoughts on the Bills. If you have nitpicks from Baltimore, if you want to do a prediction on the Bills, today's the day, gang. We got to do it all in one. So you got to light it up and do it now. Webradio at Patriots.com, the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com. Telephone number, toll free, 855-PATS-500. Again, 855-PATS-500 or the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And you can hit me up on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, or find me on Facebook, John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Lots of ways to get a hold. Now's the time to do it. It's safe to say that we did not have anyone predict 41-7. Last week, we did not have that, so no yearbooks to go today, for this week. But if you got some thoughts on Buffalo, and you want to play, you want to predict the score, you want to try to win that yearbook finally, then you got to step up to the plate today. Today is the day. East Scalaby in here shortly, hour number two. He is in transit, but this is the kind of friend that Russell Baxter is to the program here. First of all, as many of you are probably aware, Russell has been with us since year one. This is our 13th year of doing Patriots Playbook here on Patriots.com. So we like to think that we sort of set the trend, right, Kev? We sort of set the trend for internet radio and podcasts and all that kind of stuff right here on Patriots.com. We've been doing it well, well long before other teams in the NFL, other teams in other leagues, colleges, what have you. So we're pretty proud of that fact. And Russell has been with us, giving up us good, solid NFL insight for the entirety of these 13 years. And very happy that he's been able to do that. And since he's on the road today with some, holiday things going on with his family, he's going to join us by phone a little bit later on in the 3 o'clock hour. So, he's making time for you. He's making time for Patriots fans. How cool is that? And then, the best part about all this is that then we'll have Mike Rodak, who many of you may recall from ESPN Boston, when he was one of the Patriots writers, and now he is the ESPN reporter for the Buffalo Bills. And Mike will join us, young Mike will join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well, to hit on the, what we need to know about the Buffalo Bills situation, because the regular season is coming to an end. We're finally to week 17. The Patriots have managed to win 11 games thus far with a chance to win a 12th and go 12-4. And yes, if they do go 12-4, then that will be a game better than I thought they would be. It's two games better than Eric thought they would be. The swing game clearly was last week. I remember when we went through the whole win-loss thing at the beginning of the year, and some of you may actually recall that as well. Baltimore was a game that neither one of us thought the Patriots would win. And they won it. And they won it in resounding fashion. And I have to admit, and even you have to admit, as a diehard fan, whether you're a diehard fan or not, but if you watched the game on Sunday, you had to like, wow, just wow. I mean, because I sat there with my son and my girlfriend. We sat and watched the game together, and we all just wowed throughout
the
entire
game.
Yeah, I know. It was just a wow. There's really no other way you can explain it. There's no other rhyme or reason for it. There's nothing that really makes sense about it other than this really was a microcosm of the entire year. It's the unexpected. When you think the Patriots are loaded for bear, they disappoint you. And when you expect them to come in and lay an egg, what do? They reach for the top rung. They reach for the golden ring. They reach for the lottery ticket, whatever. But they grab it, they get it, and then they kick butt with it. And like I told Fred and the guys just a few minutes ago, if you expect the Patriots to come out and just blow the doors off of a Buffalo Bills team that comes in 6-9 this week with nothing to play for, I mean, this is it before they hit the golf course, the hockey rink, or wherever they hit in Buffalo. This is it. They're done. No playoffs again for the Bills. You expect the Patriots to come in and blow the doors off of them? You don't get this Patriot team. It's hard enough for myself and the PFW guys. It's hard enough for us to get our hands around this Patriots team and figure out what we really have here. Because, frankly, we really haven't done it that well all year long. Nobody has. Kevin, I would stand to reason that my 11-4 record against the spread, and I lost last week's game, okay? I admit it. I lost it. I did not win it, but I'm still 11-4 ATS, which means I've still got the same exact record as the New England Patriot team as a whole. So I think that that's actually not too bad against the spread, but nobody that you know of I know, and nobody has come forth and tweeted or Facebooked or called or anything and said that they've done better than that, have they?
I think Fred would be the only person that sticks out to me that would be close.
But he picks the Patriots every week.
Well, he picked them to lose the Dolphins game and win the Baltimore game, which really impressed me.
That is amazing.
So he's had, of all the guys that do, they pick against the spread.
Right.
Game,
yeah.
He is like
light years ahead of him, right, in the contest? Yeah.
Andy, Paul, and Eric. So I'm not sure what his exact record is in terms of just the Pats. But he's the only guy. I doubt it's as good as yours, but he's the only guy that comes to mind that would be even in the neighborhood.
I think Fred picked in spite of himself, in all honesty. But that's okay. Well, you have to give him credit where credit is due, I suppose.
Yeah, and a lot of us picked them to early in the season when we didn't know what Atlanta was. We picked them to lose to Atlanta, and he picked them to win, which was another one where he gained ground on everybody else.
Amazing, isn't it? Absolutely amazing. Oh, hey, I saw the tweet that you put out about us here, Kev. By the way, Robin has a Twitter handle.
I have to get on that.
Okay. You want anybody to know your Twitter handle? It's @Robin_Aruda, or is it just @Robin_Aruda? You don't remember what it is? Okay. I'm trying to remember. Was there an underscore in there, or was there? You know, it wasn't. Okay, so it must be just @Robin_Aruda then. ARRUDA. There you go. See, you wanted some followers. Now you might get them. You never know. All right. So here's the thing. Here's how I kind of look at it. We're pleasantly surprised. This does certainly, you know, obviously AFC East Division champions now. AFC East Division champions for a fifth straight year, the 11th time under Bill Belichick, 21st time into the playoffs in Patriots, you know, franchise history. So when you consider the overall scheme of things, you can see how moribund things were around here prior to the Kraft ownership. And we've talked about this a lot on this program over the years, and I think fans need to be reminded every so often how fortunate we all really are, you know, under the current regime. We can sit here and we can crack and we can cut and we can blame and we can lament and we can whatever. We can do anything. But the bottom line is that we still have, you know, 15 division titles and 11 under Bill Belichick to talk about since the Krafts bought this team, you know, almost 20 years ago. Right at 20 years ago, actually. Because this is my 21st year, and I came the year before the Krafts owned the team. It's amazing, really, when you stop and think about it. And so because of that, our expectations have increased all along. They continue to rise all along. And in all honesty, it is, it's truly one of the more remarkable stories, you know, in modern day NFL when we have, you know, this day and age of all the parody that's happening in the league. All right. So now we have, a Patriots team that is, division champion, still has everything to play for this year. In terms of playing for the bye, got to win on Sunday. If you win on Sunday, you automatically get no worse than the 2 seed. And if you get no worse than the 2 seed, then you're going to have, you know, wild card weekend off. And if you have wild card weekend off, then you ostensibly have an opportunity to, you know, rest the wounded if you can and hopefully move on from there. If you don't win on Sunday, well, you're still going to have a home game, but you might end up having to play the following weekend if, of course, either Cincinnati or Indianapolis win. And that's really kind of the breakdown here. Would you like me to make the introductions, Eric?
Belated Merry Christmas, JR.
Belated Merry Christmas to you,
too. How are
you, bud? This is Robin.
Hi, Robin. Thank you for all the multiple and sweets. Oh, don't tell me this.
Yeah,
are you really?
Yeah,
you made something else?
Yeah.
Oh, you're too kind. My own, oh, man.
Yeah, your own personal.
I don't know if this is going to last the day.
Of course not. Of course not.
They are so good.
Yeah, well, see?
They really are. Thank you so much.
How'd you spend the holiday?
I was at my cousin's in Johnston, next door.
Right.
Went by fast. The day just goes by so quickly.
Yeah, it did.
Had midnight mass on Christmas Eve.
Cool.
And got up quickly, opened a few gifts, went over there, spent the afternoon with them. It was dark out, fell asleep.
Nice.
Boom, back
that's
again.
That's the way to
do
it.
The whole day, gone.
That's the way to do it. That's absolutely the way to do it. So were you as stunned as anybody else over the results on Sunday? Last Sunday?
At the score, yes. The result,
not that they won?
Not stunned at the result, no. But
because you, like everybody else, picked the Ravens to win.
Yeah, I picked them to win.
Yeah,
but
so
I'm
did
not,
I. That's what I was saying.
See, that game to me, John, is indicative of the league this year. Any team can beat any other team. More so than any other year. Any team can blow out another team. Any team can lose to another team. The good teams are not that good. The bad teams are not that bad. And this is what the playoffs are going to be like, I think.
Yeah.
I really do.
Where you really don't
you
know
really
what
don't
to
know
expect,
who the
right?
favorite's going to be. I don't think you know what to expect. I don't think you can say, oh, this team's at home, they're going to win. This team's that much better, they're going to blow somebody out. I really don't think that's going to be the case. I think any team... I think most of us were taking the logical approach, saying the Ravens have been playing well, they're at home. And in a normal year, yeah, that's the right call. But this year, and especially the way it ended up, you know, I mean, because I think they played their, I think it was their best overall game this year, the Patriots.
I would have to agree, only the final result is certainly the most stunning.
Even without the defensive touchdowns at the end, I think they started off strong on offense. A little bit of a stall in the third quarter, but they were able to sustain it mostly for the whole game. They ran the ball pretty well. Brady had a good game. The O-line held up against a strong front. The defense pitched a shutout for most of the game.
To me, that was the most impressive part of the win on Sunday was the makeshift offensive line with Mankins moving over to tackle and then moving into
Klein.
Guard. Yeah, thank you, Klein. Joe Klein moving in at guard. And he didn't really, from what I could tell, he was really sort of nondescript, which means he did his job.
Yes, he did a very good job against Nada. He was mostly up against Nada in their scheme and... They did well. That left side, for the most part, did well. Made a couple of mistakes. Had a holding penalty, and but other than that, they're blocking. The tandem of Mankins and Klein did very well on that side. I think it was their best performance. You know, especially the circumstances. Late in the year, everyone's injured, going into a hostile environment against a team that had been playing relatively well, and they performed. They answered the call.
Yeah,
they got to give him credit.
Yeah, how I started the program today was basically pointed to fans who would expect the Patriots to come in and blow out Buffalo this week.
Calm down.
Yeah, precisely the point. I don't think that that's exactly something that needs to be expected now just because you happen to spank Baltimore. Keep in mind that, you know, 21 points were basically handed to you on a silver platter, you know, in that game on Sunday. So because of that, you know, the nature of this Patriot team is just to basically play it close to the vest, and I think that's the way this entire year is going to end up being. We even saw on the other side in the NFC, Seattle got beat. They don't look as invincible
home.
Now. At home for the first time all year. So they don't look to be invincible.
First time in Several years, I think.
Since
Russell Wilson's been there.
Yeah, since 2010, maybe?
Maybe. I can't remember what their 11 record was, but they certainly didn't lose at home last year with Wilson.
No.
It was his first home loss.
Right.
So it's been several years since they've lost up there.
The whole kick to this is that it's wide open. Mm-hmm. And that, hey, it's great that the Patriots got a game like that. There are a lot of other teams that have been hurt, as much or as badly as the Patriots. I don't know that many of those are actually going to make it through the playoffs, so we'll have to kind of examine that as the playoffs get started in another week. But at the same time, you're going to put up a performance like that last weekend. Here's what I think would be reasonable to expect this week against Buffalo. Just attention to detail, not regression. In other words, play your game. Buffalo is probably going to make a game of it for, at least three and a half quarters. Hopefully you're able to stay more than, one possession ahead of them throughout until the end of the game. If Buffalo makes a run, then maybe, perhaps you get a pick or you get, something like that will allow you to put yourself, a little breathing room and make it, anywhere from a 10 to a 14 point game. Mm. And that's really, I think that's reasonable to expect. You just don't want to see them take a step back and have to struggle to the very end to, pop another win like they did in the season opener when they were playing Buffalo and Buffalo.
They probably should have lost that game.
They easily could have lost that game. And we remember talking about that, almost 4 months ago now, how they probably could have should have lost that game.
Yeah. I don't expect Buffalo to roll over.
I don't either. All. Not at all.
I don't. And the only thing, and I don't expect this to happen either, but if Cincinnati and Indianapolis were to lose at 1 o'clock, then this game becomes meaningless.
Meaningless, because they would clinch the two.
Yeah. I don't expect that, so I'm fully expecting.
Why do you think this game got flexed to 425 anyway?
To keep the integrity of the other two games.
Why would that matter? Because to me, now you've kind of blown your integrity here, because the Patriots would, as you just explained, this game is meaningless if those two teams lose. If you got all three of those teams playing together at the same time, doesn't that keep the integrity intact?
Well, I think they wanted to move a game to 4 o'clock to have more of a balance, but they weren't going to move Cincy or Indy, because if New England wins at 1 o'clock, then those games become irrelevant.
Okay.
So I think they wanted those two teams to.
So they're trusting the Patriots to play on anyway.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, and I think they're expecting that at least one of those home teams wins, Cincy and or Indy wins, making it a must win for New England.
And if they both win, then obviously the game becomes must win for New England.
Well, if only one team wins, it's still
a must win.
It's still a must win.
Right.
Because they have the
Colts have the tiebreaker too, right?
Yeah, but not for the head-to-head reasons, for one of the other.
For one of the conference record reasons, right.
So that's why. So if New England were at 1 o'clock and those other two were at 4 and New England won at 1 o'clock, those other two games don't matter.
Okay.
For all intents and purposes. They still matters to that team, but it doesn't really matter in seeding. So I think that's why they did that.
Okay. All right, suppose
better than 8:30. I'll tell you that.
Oh well, there's no doubt about that. You didn't want the night game, not for the last regular season game. No, definitely not. All right, so that's what we have then. The Patriots the Baltimore Ravens. If you have some nitpicks, I will share a couple of them with you here shortly. If you have your predictions for this Sunday with Buffalo, as I said earlier, this is an all-encompassing, come one, come all holiday edition of the playbook. We've got to get it all done.
You're
here.
Squeezing nitpick and
we're
predictions.
We're squeezing
into
one show. It all into one show today.
You got to.
In a party atmosphere, we're going to squeeze it all into
one
show.
You know what else I need, Kev? If you have any, if you have a knife.
It's got to be able to slice the cranberry bread.
It's not going to last. They're certainly not going to stay intact for this whole show.
Wait, all right, we have to make sure that we take plenty of commercial breaks so Eric can get his snacking in. That's all right. I don't mind doing that. So here we go. That's where we are. All encompassing. Nitpick Thursday / prediction Thursday. And let me also suggest that next week, because the holiday runs smack dab in the middle of the week again, that we're only going to be here next Thursday, next week as well.
Hopefully for a bye week.
Which means
game show Thursday.
Boom. That's exactly right. So if the Patriots.
The Patriots have a lot riding on this game.
There's a ton riding on
really
this.
Do.
There's a ton. That's what I'm saying. So we have to realize now that, if you're, lucky enough to tune in on the holiday today, you're getting an earful of news. That's all I can tell you. An earful of news. Because if the Patriots win on Sunday and they earn the bye and do not play next week, next Thursday's show, the only show of the week,
His game show.
His game show Thursday.
Love it. Couldn't work out any better. Okay. Come on, Pats. Take care of business for us.
There you go. There you go. So it's game show Thursday next week. If the Patriots manage to beat Buffalo. Even if they back in, you know, and the other two teams lose, it still will be game show Thursday.
Sure.
Because they doesn't matter how they get in, just as long as they get in and they get the bye in that week. So that's where we are. So you have your rooting priorities presently in order.
That's my birthday weekend. I can't be working.
That's right. It's coming up, isn't it?
It is.
Are you going to share your age with us?
I think everybody knows at this point. I celebrated my 40th last year.
That's,
so.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I knew you were right there on the precipice of oldness.
Yeah.
oldness. Oh, look at the, oh, did you see the daggers I just got? Sorry. Hun, sorry. Excuse me.
Robin.
As he has his face full of
Would you have guessed 41, honestly?
There you go.
Go ahead. Yeah, you can speak.
There you go.
Can speak.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Be honest.
Would you have guessed 41 for him?
I'd say 30s, late 30s.
See,
I'll take it.
You'll take it,
I'll
right?
Take it. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. So what do you think about her?
Late 20s.
Late 20s? There you go.
Well, I look older than Eric.
Oh, see, how about that, huh? What? You look older than she does.
I look older than Eric.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
That's true. You do. It's because you're follically challenged. That's all.
Well, so
that's
am right. I.
Yes, I know. You both are. Well, that's one of the. This is the only bragging right I have over either one of these guys. Is the
and
fact
he does.
That I still have my hair. It may be gray, but it's still mine.
It's distinguished.
It's thank you, very much. Appreciate that. Okay.
Spirit of the holidays.
We kid because we love.
We care.
That's right. We kid because we care. All right. So here you go. Once again, it is 855 Pats 500. That's the toll free telephone number 855 Pats 500 and webradio at patriots.com. The email address at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. Nitpicks from Sunday and predictions for this next Sunday. Let's start it off right here with Sean in Vancouver. Sean, you're in the playbook. Happy holidays.
Hey, guys. My headset. Happy holidays, everybody. Yeah, I just want to make one little correction. This game does matter, even if the odd occurrence of Indy and Cincy losing, because they still can get the number one bye. I know Oakland
That's true.
Doesn't have a good chance, but as we said, you know,
That's
anyone,
true.
Anyone can win any week. So
yep.
there's that to look at for.
Good point.
Now, in terms of nitpicks, I don't know if this counts as a nitpick because it's beyond anyone's control, but I wish these players stopped going down with injuries. I mean, McCourty, Breen going down last week. Hopefully, Breen will play this week. I don't think McCourty is looking good. He'll probably sit out with some concussion.
Yeah, I would say probably not for McCourty. More likely for Vereen, but I would actually almost rather see him sit a week.
You think?
Yeah.
I would rather.
So that way he'd end up sitting too, basically, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully. Well,
he has practiced, by the way, Sean. Vereen, that is. McCourty has not.
Exactly. I was watching Baltimore play Detroit a couple weeks ago, and one thing I noticed was whenever Detroit went in an empty set, Baltimore would blitz, and it got to the quarterback quite a bit. And I was anticipating what would happen with New England in that particular instance, and I saw them the first time they did that. It didn't occur again, or as far as I noticed. The Patriots were able to pick up the blitz and complete a pass over the middle, so that was a good sign from the offensive line and just the whole system of preparing for that blitz. I like the run. I'm sure everyone's going to say this, but you know, going back to the run, and especially in the red zone, and I hope that continues as Patriots are able to run more in the red zone because they don't have those big end zone targets anymore. So,
well, you have to like the way they played the red zone this last week, Sean. I mean, they were 3 for 3 scoring touchdowns, which I think took them from middle of the pack in the NFL to like the top 6 or 7 in red zone offense, if you can believe that. A 3 for 3 performance did that this week. And so I think, you know, that to me was one of the most impressive aspects of last week. Fact remains is that they were able to overcome Gronk's absence, and I thought they ran the ball with authority between the tackles as well as they have all year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key to the red zone success, because they can't go to Gronk anymore. Is they were able to run it in the red zone, where the week before they were just passing every time in the red zone, and that was hurting them in the end zone. So I hope they continue that trend. Now, in terms of prediction for Buffalo, I think it's going to be pretty close. Buffalo's going to play it tough. I'm going to go with a prediction of New England 24, Buffalo 17.
24-17, okay.
Right.
I think that's probably in the ballpark. I'll be honest with you. I haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you. I'll try to think about it before the end of the show today. But
yeah.
I think 24-17 probably is a good ballpark figure. I think you'll see the Patriots probably try to play it relatively close to the vest. They certainly don't want to aggravate any of the injuries that they may have and make anything worse. And then at the same time, you know that Buffalo is going to come out. They got nothing to lose, and I'm sure that would be a great boost to their offseason if they were able to pop the Patriots going in, to their offseason. So, it's happened before. We've seen it, especially with Miami in this situation here late in the year. So, I really expect Buffalo to make this a game.
Okay, well, enjoy it, and hopefully we'll talk next week for a game show.
Thanks, Sean. Sounds like a plan. We will we'll make a point of it. Absolutely.
I wonder. I don't expect the Bills to, as I've said, roll over, but I think that could go either way. I've seen it go either way, where teams at the end of the year that aren't in the playoffs are just ready to
lay.
They're looking forward. They're looking forward to going on the golf course and doing whatever they want to do.
I think you can look at it two
ways.
But
I don't expect that.
I don't expect that from this Buffalo team.
No,
I really don't. I mean, they've been close in several games this year where, you flip a couple of other scores over and this team is probably 9-6 as opposed to being, 6-9.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are trying to play to get into the playoffs this week. They're not that far away from being there. So, it's one of the things I want to talk to our boy Mike Rodak about in the next hour, just because, frankly, this team has sort of been on the edge, but they haven't had a quarterback, a consistent quarterback presence all year long. And I'm sure that's been one of the things that's kind of been nagging at them. And, what the first year has really been like under Doug Marrone and whether or not everybody feels like he's, there for the long haul, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I wonder who's going to – I would expect Manuel to play this Sunday, but I don't even think that's a certainty.
Well, I mean, if he can go at all, I expect he goes just because there's no more games. You got the entire offseason to get healthy.
Mm.
So if he's – if it's an injured or hurt situation, if he's injured, then he probably won't play. If he's hurt, probably means he can still play, so he probably goes out there and plays. Right? I mean, isn't that the way most guys usually are?
Yeah. It's – this whole last game, though, and what it means to them, I don't know. We could see Thad Lewis.
Well, Thad Lewis played pretty well last week.
He did.
So Rodgers is starting this week, guys.
Who is? Aaron Rodgers is? Is he?
Really?
Wow.
Well, advantage Packers, then, in that game.
But the Packers need that,
yeah.
Right? They got a win to get in, right?
Yeah, and I believe the Bears do, too.
Yes. So that's what I'm saying.
I mean, the winner wins the division. That's
yeah.
It.
So that's why, you want to pull out all stops if you got something like that on the line, right?
The Bears had a chance.
Frankly,
that's why
I fully expect to see at some point. I actually expect to see Tony Romo for the Cowboys, even though he's got, the disc
that's
problem.
What Fred
or whatever
said, but I can't imagine.
They have.
Why did they sign John Kitna then?
I don't know. Because they could. I really don't know. I mean, frankly, as someone who follows the Cowboys, I don't think the Cowboys will be any better or worse without him because I'm not a Romo fan. But I would tell you that's one of the reasons why Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett have been, non-committal about it. They want him to play if it's at all possible.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Woo.
But I think the fact that Kyle Orton's been shown getting the reps in practice and John Kitten is now there, I think that tells you what you need to know.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but... What if it doesn't go well and, the Cowboys are down two scores at halftime?
Do we know when Romo got hurt?
I don't know definitively. I really don't. Did not watch it closely enough to find out.
I believe it was on their final drive.
Was it that play where he was scrambling out and he fell over?
Yeah, and he got his, sock pulled down and it was a really awkward jolt that he...
And then he got up and threw a pass and then kind of reached for his...
I believe that was the play.
Wow.
At least that's the one when talking about the injury, they show over and over and over and over.
Didn't look to be. It looked kind of innocuous, actually. It didn't really look to be serious. But he reached back around and kind of grabbed his back or whatever it was. All right. Here's Dave in Connecticut. Dave, you're in the playbook.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
Good, man.
Hey, just want to, hit on a couple things, guys. I think, that you've already mentioned, by far this was the most complete game they had on all three phases. You know, defensively, you had those three big fourth down stops. They played a real nice game. You know, I mean, they control the run, although Ray Rice has not had a good year. So, I mean, you know, you can't get too crazy about that. They control the pass. It was a good game. Even without the late scores, I was never uncomfortable in that game. You know, I knew you could just tell that the Patriots were pretty much in control of that game. And I don't think Baltimore ever really challenged them. So, you know, take that for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll also take, you know, they are the defending champions. Okay, and there used to be a wrestler who said you have to beat the man to be the man. And the Patriots did what they did. And they just didn't beat them. They beat them bad. I mean, you know, hats off to Logan Mankin. You know, it was my favorite part of that game was seeing Terrell Suggs on the bench.
Hmm.
And it wasn't because you didn't hear any injury reports on Suggs. I just think that Logan kicked his you-know-what in that entire game. Suggs was a non-factor. Him and his mouth.
Well, let's also reiterate here that Baltimore made more they made a season's worth of mistakes almost in that game.
Absolutely.
Between the penalties and the turnovers late, I mean, that was just an ugly, ugly performance by the Ravens. And the Patriots were at the very least good enough to take advantage. And that's what good teams are supposed to do. And we haven't really, you don't know this as well as anybody, Dave. We have not really been able to say that about the Patriots until this last Sunday. They could not completely take advantage of all those mistakes.
No, I'll say this too. The last drive that we had, I was so proud of them because that was a game-winning drive. They said to the Ravens, we're going to run the ball, come and stop us. Okay, and they ran the ball down the Ravens' throat. And that was very impressive. Now, I agree with 100% what you guys are saying. This Buffalo game is going to be a tough game because where the Ravens don't have a running game, Buffalo does. Okay, with Spiller and Jackson, or whatever his name is, okay.
You got it right. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
it's gonna be a tough game. What I want to see from New England is another complete game. If they play a complete game, have the balance, run the ball, pass when they need to, I think you know they're gonna take care of business. Okay, that's what I'm looking for as a fan. You know, just to see. All right, you know, and they're definitely capable of doing it. You know, the caller before said, we still have a shot for that one spot. Who's to say what happens with Denver? Denver is getting banged up pretty good there. You know, Vaughn Miller, who knows if Welker's going to play. So, you know, if we can come away from this Buffalo game with another complete game, have 2 weeks to rest up, have our one home game, if that's what it is, I like our chances in Denver. I really do. I mean, Brady's got the head-to-head record, you know, not to make fun of Peyton, but, I mean, you know, hats off to him with the 51 touchdown passes. But did you see his interview, what he said?
Mm-hmm.
In all honesty,
Dave, didn't you just kind of feel, you know, like he was being a bit smarmy in that interview?
Yeah, I think in a way, but I Brady's in his guys. You gotta admit the fact that, you know, Belichick and Brady are in his head just from the past playoff experiences had against them. I remember watching a replay when the Colts won the Super Bowl. Was that 2009?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we were in Indianapolis, and you know the Colts had just scored, and there was like a minute something left on the game, and Brady was driving down the field, and you listen to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, he talking, and he. He's like, I couldn't watch. And he said, Peyton, these are Peyton's words, because he's doing like his little, you know, mic thing. He said, you know what? He goes, I know God doesn't watch football, but he said, you know, I said a little prayer. And he said, God, you know, just once, let Tom not win this game, you know. And you know, it is what it is. I mean, Brady has played better than, you know, and I know it's not just Tom Brady. It's the team. It's a team game.
Of course.
But Brady has performed better than he has in the head-to-head. And Peyton knows that. And it puts more pressure on Peyton than it does Brady.
Well, perhaps then that's in his head for later on down the line. The point that you made earlier about, the team needing a solid performance is the one that I think that, has got to, resonate here because, you don't want them to take a step back after making, taking such a huge leap forward this past Sunday. And that's the big thing. That's the main thing that you need here. You need this team to make sure that they take care of business and don't make stupid mistakes. Not mistakes like Baltimore made, because Baltimore is the one that, to make the mistakes that they made on their home field this last week, that I had my jaw open most of the game. Most of the game. Robin can even verify that. She was the one screaming, I can't believe they're doing this. I couldn't believe it either.
And you got to realize that New England made them pay for every stupid penalty and mistake they made, though.
Well, they did, and that's the one thing you got to make sure that you avoid that at all costs this week, because Buffalo, I think, is probably at least good enough to take advantage of some of that.
Oh, absolutely. I think, like I said, they have that running game, okay? And that's what scares me with Buffalo, whether it's, Emmanuel or Thad Lewis at quarterback. They can run the ball. So
I think the Patriots...
And that has been our Achilles. Mayo, Wolfork, Kelly, the went down.
No question. So, I think the Patriots definitely try to stop the run. I think that's Buffalo's best weapon. I think they've got to try to gear up and stop the run and make the run very difficult. And that whether it's, Manuel or Lewis or whomever that's back there at quarterback, they're going to try to make whoever that is beat them with his arm on Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's the game plan. I think, whether it's, having both Hightower and Spikes on run pitches,
I think you might see that. Sure.
And
by the way, let me also, as much as we have been hammering Brandon Spikes and Dante Hightower this year, I thought they both played, exceptionally well this past week. Spikes especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Spikes played well, and Hightower has been playing well the last few weeks, I think.
He's not a coverage linebacker. Nobody ever says he's a coverage linebacker, but I would tell you that he covered probably as well as he can. And I think the coverage linebacker that the Patriots have is Jamie Collins.
Collins. Yeah.
He's the one that's going to develop.
Yeah, Collins is definitely a good
without a doubt.
Covered.
Yep.
And I think the score is going to be something like 27-14 New England. They'll pull away toward the end there.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Good stuff,
all right,
Dave.
Guys.
All right, Dave.
Happy holidays.
Talk to you later.
All right, man. So there you go.
I did an official, unofficial head count
on
of you knows that Dave threw out there. I had 28.
Come on.
Yeah.
He did 28 you knows?
Yeah. Unofficial. I mean, I started counting in when he got on, but we love Dave.
We
That's
do.
His favorite expression, though, so I wanted to,
Dave's about
to... tease him a little bit,
Dave's as passionate as just about any listener we have,
No.
We kid because we care. Yeah, that's exactly right. Absolutely. All right. So I guess then what we need to do here, let me just see if I can get a couple of emails out of the way.
I'm trying to eavesdrop on Robin's crossword puzzle here.
Oh. By the way, I hope you brought a good word
today. Come on. When do I not?
All right.
Please.
I think she's taking this personally. So I'm looking forward
That's why I'm sitting far over here, because I'm trying to get out of
I'm looking
reach.
Forward to this challenge here just a little bit. Dennis in Winthrop, Maine emails in. He says, I was looking at last week's game stats. Noticed that Jamie Collins only had one completion of four passes thrown in his direction. He's been consistently good in this stat. Do you think the Pats have finally found their coverage linebacker? Gee, didn't we just, I just mentioned that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you did.
But he has slowly, as Dennis points out, he has slowly been developing to that kind of guy where you see him getting more and more reps in these kinds of situations where they're confident in his abilities.
Yeah, and he's had the opportunity since Mayo went out. The injury that they've been able to put him on the field more.
This is one of those situations where you hate to have injuries, but there's a silver lining in the fact that Jamie Collins has had more opportunity because Gerard Mayo has not been out there. And so this is where you might sort of put him on the fast track in terms of developing his pro skills.
I would say, too, that Collins has made more almost plays than I think Mayo has ever made plays.
You really think that?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Mayo doesn't make plays.
Mayo does what you expect.
He makes tackles
of him. Makes
5 to 7 yards downfield. That's not a play.
Okay.
That's a tackle.
Oh, so I told you. So you're talking about like disruption of offensive flow. And,
right.
Okay.
Batted passes.
Yeah.
Near sacks. Forced fumbles. Those kind of things. Those are what I call
Mayo's
plays.
Mayo's Mr. Steady, while, you know,
Collins is potentially a playmaker.
A playmaker. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. They need a playmaker. I think we all know that. They and need somebody that can do that.
You look at the stat sheet, Hightower and Spikes, I think, are near the top of the total tackles. So you can plug in anybody to make those tackles. You can't just plug in anybody to make plays. And Collins has come very close to making a lot of plays this year, whether it's in the backfield or in pass coverage.
He could have had a pick six last week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically dropped it.
Yeah.
Had it in his hands.
So I like the fact that he's in position. He's putting himself in position to make these plays, whereas mm-hmm. Mayo never was. I never really felt like Mayo was a guy who was on the verge of becoming a playmaker. He was just a steady, you know, tackling presence there.
Yeah.
Which is fine. You need somebody to do that, but when you draft somebody 10th overall, I expect a little bit more out of them.
Okay. Okay. Steve and Colleen, first, hat tip to the lovely Miss Robin, who is in studio with you today, and I hope your holidays thus far has been enjoyable. See, there you go, Rob. Somebody absolutely, you know, good.
I just wish you would stop dominating the conversation here today. Really, I mean, just take a this breath,
is, please. This is where we, I know, this is where we need the cameras to be operating here, though, because that way everybody could you know, have a look.
I really
right?
am curious about that no? crossword puzzle, though.
Why are you shooting?
Like
why are you shooting me daggers? Yeah. Okay. On to the Ravens game. I would have to give this game the worst called game of the year award.
Oh God!
Great googly moogly. As to the Pats, I am not going to nitpick their most complete game of the year, if for no other reason than it's the holidays. Was it really the worst called game of the year? You think?
Officiated? Oh, yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty close.
That Ron Winter's crew was terrible.
I'm
absolutely terrible.
I wasn't sure what they were doing in some of the calls. That's for sure.
I
think though the Patriots had more than their fair share of breaks go their way though.
Oh, they did, but that right? doesn't mean it was not a terrible call. There were still terrible calls, just mm-hmm. in the Patriots' favor a lot of times.
I'm surprised we didn't get more of the bull bleep calls, you know, from the fans.
We got one. Yeah. Got one. Really
oh, there
good.
Were a ton.
And but that
ton.
Happened to be on one that was a legitimate call by the officials.
Yeah.
The Amendola non-fumble.
And his
forearm was
his
down
forearm
before
was
the
down.
Ball came out.
Yeah,
that's, he was down by contact.
Tough call. You know, there would have been a time in the NFL where that's a fumble.
Yeah.
Before instant replay, that's a fumble.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, probably.
Sure it is, because
probably.
They called it a fumble until they went back and reviewed it.
But see, the thing is, when I saw it live, my first thought was that, and I saw them run, the Ravens
he might
running.
Be down.
No, my first thought was, oh, that's not going to stand. He was down.
Okay. I have to admit, I didn't think so. I wasn't sure. And then when they slowed it down, I said, okay, now I'm sure. Elbows down. But, you know, that's the kind of thing, though, when things are going your way, they kind of snowball your direction,
right.
And you get those breaks. If it's not going your way already,
even
you could see them, you know, well, there's not enough evidence here to overturn that call. Mm. Fumble, ball goes over. And so I could see that happening. I could definitely see that happening on that play.
Even Justin Tucker missing a relatively short field
goal.
Yeah,
that one surprised me. He missed a gimme.
That's the kind
for
of
him.
Stuff
what
that happens
it?
When
40 yarder something,
37.
37 yarder, and he hooked it left.
Yeah,
that was stunning because he had been absolute money, more so mm-hmm. than Gostowski, really. Mm-hmm. All right, on to the Bills. He says, "I do not see the Bills laying down for this game. I believe this will be a close one." He says, "Pats 28, Bills 19."
Okay.
Statement game number two for the Pats. Fast start, solid finish. Here's hoping the Broncos stumble. Wishful thinking, a la Fred Kirsch, but maybe after all, this is the NFL. All the best to you and all of Pat's Nation in the new year to come. Oh, and before I forget, bring on Bye Week Game Show 2.
Yeah.
There we go. Next Thursday. Week from today. Right?
Can't wait.
Week from today.
Love it.
That would be January the 2th. What's better than say January the 3rd?
Oh, boy.
That was one of the questions that the rookie asked me when he was little. He said, "Dad, how come if the first is the first, how come the second isn't the tooth?" I couldn't answer that question. I still can't answer that question. Why is the
that's
second
you
not
only
the...
got one tooth.
Got one. No, that's West Virginia. That's the state of West Virginia.
Yeah, you've called enough games there.
Yeah, I know. I have. No. I know. I couldn't answer the question, so I don't know. But he made a very good point. All right, so here we go. Now we have another one. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut says, "My nitpick is the naysayers, and you know who you are." Is that me? "That didn't pick them to win."
Oh, calm down.
I did pick them to win, albeit a close game, 23-20, and a late field goal or even a field goal in OT. Not to pat myself on the back too much, but for the overall season, I did pick them to be 12-4, with 11-5 at worst, and 13-3 at best, depending on how the ball bounced. Well, I'm right there with you, Howard, so pat my back too while you're at it. If the Pats play the balance of their games like they played against Baltimore, they can and will beat anyone. The problem is bringing that level of play for the next four games, one regular, two playoff, one Super Bowl. Can they do it? Well, I sure hope so. And at the risk of sounding like a complete homer, expect them to, because I believe the rookies, the Wookiees, all 13 of them,
Chewbacca,
there he is, have turned the corner and figured it, in parentheses or quotation marks, out. I have complained about the coordinators all year, and yet against Baltimore, they had their best games all year. They finally put the players in a position to succeed, and the players performed and succeeded. As for this week, it's a division game. These games are always close and hard fought. I don't think it will be as close as I thought Baltimore was going to be, but I also don't see a blowout by any stretch. Pats may run away with it in the end, but for the bulk of the game, it will be a 10-point lead, the bulk of the game. He says Pats 27, Buffalo 17.
Okay.
Happy New Year, doubters. Had to rub it in just a little. Here's to a bye week going into the playoffs. Go Pats, says Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. Thank you, Howard. Howard has also been with us since, I think, pretty much since day one.
He was an original playbook.
I think he was with us the original playbook season 13 years ago, or 12 years ago. This is our 13th year. So I think he's been around for about as long as just about everybody listening to this program.
Wow.
Just like Russell S. Baxter, too. You know, so that's not too bad. All right, so then why don't we do this then before we get to the word of the day? How about a prediction? First of all, let's double check on practice today. I know that McCourty wasn't there and Boyce, right?
Correct. Just like the walkthrough on Tuesday, those two guys were the only ones not there. So, yeah, good news that Vereen and Solder
were back.
Are out there. They had been. They haven't missed any practice time. Well, Solder missed the last couple of Wednesdays, but Vereen, I thought, might have been a iffy prospect, and he's been out there.
That was a groin still last week. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Groin?
Yeah. I still don't think it's a guarantee that he'll play on Sunday. They could sure use him, but I think they might be wiser to
hold him and give him another week, right?
Yeah, I think, but who knows?
I think you're probably right with both of them, especially the way the offensive line managed to hold itself together. I would say that they probably give
Solder another week too,
to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And especially what happens if they lose the game. This would be their bye week.
Yeah.
This would be their week off.
Yeah.
I don't see any of these guys playing. I think they're all probably scratched. Vereen, Solder,
well, certainly
Boyce,
McCourty. That's 2 days of practice that he's missed. Yeah,
I don't see any of those four playing.
No. I mean, the positive, Aaron Dobson was back last week, contributed a little bit.
He did.
So that's good. They could use his presence a little bit more. They went deep to him a couple of times, didn't really connect, but, you know, at least the threat is there. I like that part, of you know, that he's bringing to the offense, so... that's really as much as we can give you from practice because we're only allowed to see stretching again.
Right,
so.
Right. Okay. Not a huge surprise then, one way or the other.
No.
All right. How about a prediction then for Sunday?
I think New England wins regardless of the outcome of the 1 o'clock games that we mentioned earlier. And I think the callers have been mostly in line with a mid-20s for the Patriots. I'll call it 26. How about that? And late teens for the Bills. So 26-18. How about that for an unorthodox
26-18?
Score? Yeah. You don't get that kind of score every
day. No, I think that's fair.
8-point victory.
That's pretty close to what I was looking at. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking right around those lines. What's the spread again?
I don't know.
Kevin, do you know what the spread is for Sunday right now?
9.5.
It's 9.5?
9.5.
Okay. Wow, that's tough. I'm going to say that the Patriots are a late cover. I'm going Patriots 30, Bills 20.
Wow, all right. 30 points.
30-20. And the only reason is because I think that they'll get a cheapie late somehow. Be like a 23-20 game and then they
like
score.
Like they did in Baltimore.
Like they kind of like did in Baltimore. Yeah. I think it's possible. They'll have the ball and either somebody breaks one or Buffalo's driving down the field and the Pats, you know, turnover and Patriots run the ball into the end zone and they stretch it out.
I've been saying all year Julian Edelman would run back a punt for a score.
Mm-hmm.
this week. Why not?
This could be the week. It absolutely could be the week.
Edelman, punt, touchdown.
Okay.
He's due.
All right.
I think.
All right. So you say 26-18.
Yeah.
And I have 30-20. So you have the Bills covering the 9.5.
Yeah, I do.
There.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
Okay.
Like last week.
All right. I've got them, Patriots, just barely covering it. What are your thoughts? Time for you to step up. Webradio@patriots.com or pick up the phone, 855-PATS-500, or send the tweet at JR Broadcaster. Give us your score prediction for Sunday. This is your only shot this week before the game on Sunday. And now, without further ado.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Never has there been more pressure on a Word of the Day than there is today.
Well, you got the teacher sitting right here.
I know. Okay. I know. I have to bring it. All right. So the word I'm going with, and maybe she's already used it in the crossword puzzle.
It's possible.
I don't know. But today's word is remonstrate.
Remonstrate.
I see the quizzical look that went up from Robin. The eyebrows were raised. Remonstrate.
You want to try that one, Robin?
It's like demonstrate with an R instead of a D.
Spelled the same way.
Spelled the same way. Just replace the D with an R.
Okay.
Remonstrate.
Any idea?
Any guesses? Root words? Anything? Stump the teacher in person this time.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a little surprised, Rob, because you usually are jumping all over me when I come home with this. And you're like, I don't understand that word of the day. That's not a word. I never heard that used in a sentence before. No?
Yeah, he's told me how many times you've cursed me out behind my back. But a couple, she said, yeah.
Okay.
All right, remonstrate.
Remonstrate.
I'll use it in a sentence first, and then I'll give you the definition. If I did not come prepared with a very good word of the day, I would expect Robin to remonstrate.
Slap him upside of the head? Well,
the violinist just got scared and dropped their bow.
Exactly.
To remonstrate means to vehemently or reproachfully protest complain about something or someone.
Right.
So if I came with just a run of the mill easy word, she would have been really ticked off at me, I would think.
Okay.
And would have put up a very harsh protest, which might have included slapping me across the face.
I don't think she'd do that. No, she saved that for me. So remonstrate. Okay.
So yeah, there you go.
All right. I like it. What are the plans for the new year after Sunday? Because we won't get a chance to talk until New Year. We won't talk again in this format until 2014.
You're right. Well, that's a good point.
See?
That's a good point. Yeah. I don't normally do much on New Year's. I do have some long-term New Year's plans, though, that I hope to accomplish one day.
Yeah?
Because normally I stay home on New Year's. I don't really go out and, you know, get drunk and that kind of thing. But I always like to stay home and sort of reflect on what's happened the past year and plans I have for the upcoming year. But at some point, some year, I would like to get a hotel room in Times Square.
Yes!
Overlooking
Times
Square.
Yes, exactly.
So you wouldn't
have to be out in it,
absolutely,
but you could be above it.
To be above it literally and figuratively.
Right.
And to be able to observe, to take part, and then to be able to shut the door, close the world out, and then have a good night's sleep. But to be right there amidst everybody. That's a long-term goal.
I would agree. I think that's a good idea. I have done the Macy's parade on Thanksgiving.
I have too,
and I've done that a couple of times with the kids, but I've always wanted to do that, and I'm kind of like, you know, it's it's always bitterly cold, and why would you want to be out there with all the yahoos and
right,
you know, where it's just, you know, you're you know, it's wall to wall people, and what happens if a rush starts and you get crushed, and I mean, do you really want to be out there and all that? And the answer to that is fork out the dough and spend it in one of the hotels above Times Square.
Make sure you get a room that overlooks the square, and there you go.
I think
you can celebrate. You stay up. You can watch the ball. You can
great
have a
idea.
Toast.
Great
and you
idea.
Can conk right out. Don't have to worry about the mass of people.
Place to stay would be right there at the Marriott Marquis, probably, huh?
That's I'd have to investigate, but if there's one there, then
that'd be
a
good one. Oh yeah, it's right there.
And that's something you'd have to book like a couple of years in advance
to make sure that
you have those particular rooms, not only just the hotel itself.
Those rooms have got that date's got to be the first one to sell out every year, I would think. Maybe outsold out like years in advance.
But that's something on the list I'd like to do.
That's a good bubble. That's a good bubble. That's a good bucket list thing. You know, to do Times Square on New Year's Eve.
Bring someone along, hopefully. Not just myself.
Exactly. Well, that would always be nice, right?
So, yeah, but that's a long-term goal.
Okay.
Not this year. It's not going to happen this year, but some year, hopefully.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. All right. Well, that actually, I have a game on New Year's Eve. So
PC?
Yeah, the Friars play Seton Hall.
They usually play on New Year's Eve, don't they?
Well, they have a lot. They have in the past, but it's a conference game this year, so that's why it's a little bit different. You know, the Fox Sports 1 is doing the whole everybody plays on New Year's Eve type thing.
Oh.
So we've got the second game of the day, which happens to be smack dab in the middle of this time slot. Mm. So if you want to listen to it, you can find it on Friars.com. There you go. That's simple as that.
So you can get your Rook fix.
You can get the fix if you need it. I know. God only knows why you would want to. But, you know, that's what you can do. So, and then Wednesday, obviously, is the holiday. Mm-hmm. And then next Thursday, provided there's a bye week. Well, even if there's not a bye week, we'll still be here. But if it's a bye week, it will be Game Show Thursday, one week from today. So we'll have to make sure that, you know, those who are listening here, whether you're listening to us live or you're on the podcast a little bit later on, tune in next Thursday, because if there's a bye, we're giving away prizes.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away prizes and we will need
having
some
fun and giving away
we
prizes.
Will need some participants in the show. So most definitely. All right. I'll see you Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Happy holidays to you,
my friend. Likewise.
All right, we'll get a break in here. Russell Baxter will be coming up. Mike Rodak on the Buffalo Bills. We got a ton to get to. Still got time for you, though, here in the program. Your predictions for Sunday on the Patriots and Bills with the yearbook at stake. Web radio at patriots.com. 855-PATS-500. Come on now. Ready, set, and go.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel & Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that Do Not Disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Hour number two in the playbook for a Thursday. Hope it was a great Christmas holiday wherever you might be. And if you don't celebrate the holiday, well, then I hope then you're having a good time with friends and family and you're anticipating the new year with great anticipation for all things good in football land, because the Patriots, as we all know, still have things right in their own hands, controlling their own destiny. And in this day and age of absolute madness, I tell you, madness in the NFL, well, it's good to be able to control your own destiny. And the Patriots do. You win on Sunday against Buffalo here at Gillette Stadium, and you have a bye in the playoffs, which should be your goal every year. If you're New England, that should be your goal. I think we all know that, right? The expectations are to the point now in New England where, okay, playoffs are a fait accompli, right? I think we've probably arrived at the stage where everybody figures, okay, well, this team's going to be in the playoffs. Even though we always poo-poo the playoffs, we always push the playoffs aside. And when somebody in the opening 4 or 5 weeks of the season, certainly in the opening month of the season, September, let's say, and you come onto this show and the word playoff is mentioned, it's kind of like, boom, blow them up, get them out. We don't talk about it because it's too far away. Even though we all know it's kind of dancing around in the back of the heads, and you figure this team's going to the playoffs. And it's really kind of silly to think that way because you just don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to get hurt. And the Patriots certainly have overcome some significant injuries this year. But I would tell you that they have not had a significant injury to the one person that matters the most. And you and I both know who that person is. And you and I both know that I've taken my shots at him this year. And I don't think they've been undeserved. You know, he is getting longer in the tooth. He's older. But at least his weapons have developed somewhat around him. And let's also suggest that maybe his own game has stepped up because the weapons have improved around him. So they've sort of helped each other out in this regard. Would the Patriots be where they are now without TB12? Of course not. There's no way. And that's why I think you could certainly, in one breath, make Tom Brady an NFL MVP choice for this year. And in the same breath, he's not even the MVP of this team, depending on your point of view. Be pretty hard to probably pass that one off. But, okay, I can understand if you made that argument. Not sure I would entirely agree with it, but I can understand where you're coming from. So this team then, overcoming what they have to get to where we all thought that they would be, which is in the postseason, and to still have an opportunity here in the last week of the regular season to control their destiny and get the week off. And really, before the season starts, finishing one or two, you know, obviously you'd love to finish one because that means you have home field advantage if you stay alive. But I think we all know what happens to one seeds in the playoffs, right? The success rate has not been good for one seeds. And I can't imagine that the success rate will be all that great for Denver if they end up with a one seed, because they just lost arguably their best defensive player in Von Miller for the rest of the year to an ACL. So, and even Seattle in the NFC lost this last week. Now is not the time to necessarily be a one seed in either league. So to me, the two is the best bet. You don't have the home field advantage guaranteed, but if the one seed does what they've done in the past, chances are they're going to stumble somewhere and you're still going to have your opportunity for home field advantage. So the two, in my way of thinking, is just as good as the one. If you take recent memory, recent history into consideration. Anybody follow? I hope so. If not, well, give me your thoughts. You always got time to do that. Web radio at patriots.com. The email, 855-PATS-500. Toll-free line at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Still need your predictions for Thursday or for Sunday here on Thursday for the Bills and the Patriots coming up Sunday. If you get the correct answer, obviously you get the yearbook, as we've been doing all year long. We've only given away, we give away 5 books, and they were all in 1 week. Earlier this season when the Patriots beat Miami here. It was 27-17, and we had that score predicted by 5 separate people, including yours truly that day. And that's been the only time we've given away any books all year long this year. So if you want a shot at it, we'll give it a go. This one comes in from our friend Melvin in Tennessee. He's his nitpick from this week. Cannon, too many penalties. Cannon looked off at times. Gregory looked bad against, or looked so bad against T. Smith. Yes, the play was that bad. 27-17 Pats, he says, for this week. This is Melvin from Tennessee. Okay. Yeah, Gregory did, he did stumble a bit against Torrey Smith, but fortunately for the Patriots, they were able to overcome that defensively. And Gregory also, I think, got dinged up prior to that play, if I'm not mistaken, Melvin. And the Patriots didn't have near as many penalties as Baltimore did. But, yay, that's what nitpicking is all about, right? Gustavo, is this a nit prediction Thursday or what? By the way, this is Gustavo from Mission, Texas. Hello, Gustavo. My nitpick is that there is no nitpick this week. Perfect for having no show on Tooth Day. Okay. My prediction, 34-23 Pats win. Don't ask how because every game is so unpredictable. I think that's the entire point of it all, Gustavo. Everything is so incredibly unpredictable. It's just really hard to nail it, which is why it was, probably a minor miracle that we got five correct answers on that one Sunday from back when they were playing Miami early this season. He says, by the way, happy holidays from my family to yours, from Gustavo in Mission, Texas. Thank you, Gustavo. Same to you and yours. Feliz Navidad and happy holidays and happy new year. Good stuff all the way around. I think 30-20 this week. I'm not sure. I wasn't really ready to go. I think all toward 30, but at the same time, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt with a little momentum and maybe a couple of Steven Gostkowski kicks. That's three touchdowns and three field goals. Buffalo's liable to play better defense than that. So we'll see how it turns out, but I'll say, roughly right at the line, which is 9.5. I'll go with a cover, but just barely, on this particular one. By the way, I was looking on Twitter earlier today at one of those fun facts to know and tell that 20% of all gift cards. Did you get a gift card for the holidays? 20% of all gift cards that are purchased never get cashed in. Is that right? No wonder why gift cards, if I'm a merchant, that's all I want to sell is gift cards. I mean, it's great to sell the merchandise and all, but really, sell the gift card for the merchandise because you can take a chance that you just gave away a piece of laminate for nothing. That's one out of every five gift cards in this country that's purchased goes unused. I find that absolutely shocking. Russell, if you get a gift card, would you actually let it sit in your wallet and rot? Is he there? Russell?
Yes.
Oh, there you are.
Yes.
Okay, got you now. Did you get a gift card for Christmas?
Yes, I have, and apparently it's the gift that doesn't keep on giving.
Badoonch. I like it. I just found that was... Okay, better late than never, Kev. Thank you. I just thought that was an amazing stat. I'm going through all these, silly tweets from, the day after Christmas and how, I actually went to an outlet store earlier today to exchange a gift for my girlfriend, and the place was absolutely jammed. I didn't think it would be that busy, so silly me for thinking that. But then I saw 20% of all gift cards purchased over the holidays go unused, and I thought that was just, that really stunned me.
That is a staggering number. I think 10% would be a staggering number, much less 20%.
I thought that was just absolutely ridiculous. And hey, kudos for the companies that sell them. And hey, those that buy them and give them away as presents, shame on you. Shame on the people that don't cash them in. I think that's ridiculous. But hey,
well, I think I know who's actually getting the gift now.
Who's that?
The person who sold the card.
Probably. That is the gift. That's exactly right. That's a good point. All right, so thank you for taking some time today in the middle of your holidays. I trust that you and your family had a great holiday yesterday.
Yes, we did. We are back en route to Connecticut and had a great time. And, watching your daughter do the present thing is always a lot of fun. And, it's one of the joys of being a father now.
So. Oh, that's cool. That's absolutely very cool.
And trust me, she was ecstatic when I gave her the keys to that BMW. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll wager that she would have been. Wow, Dad, thank you. And how old is your daughter?
Six.
Yeah, that's why I'm sure she'd be even more stunned over that, right?
absolutely.
Love it.
Sure, Daddy will take it out for a test drive.
Yeah, it's perfect. Yeah, let Dad.
Test it for about 10 years.
Yeah, I'll test it for 10 years, and then I'll turn it over to you. I think that's a great idea. Look what I bought you, hon. It's a BMW. I'm just going to drive it for 10 years. I think that's perfect. Okay. That's a great idea. In fact, I might have
It'll
to use
it. It'll be perfect
that.
By the time I give it back to you.
It's exactly right. Nice and broken in, right?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so, first of all, you were the only one here, except for, I think Fred Kirsch also picked the Patriots to beat Baltimore, but certainly amongst our inner circle here, you had the Patriots beating the Ravens, but you didn't have them whipping them as bad as the score turned out, did you?
No, and you know what the ironic thing about Sunday's game was, and the thing that you and I talked about last week, is the fact that it bothered me that Baltimore was settling for nothing but field goals for the most part. Remember, offensively, 5 offensive touchdowns, 15 field goals during their 4-game winning streak. So what's it turn out? They actually score 1 offensive touchdown, and their field goal kicker misses a field goal for the first time in 34 tries.
Right, absolutely. Strange, huh?
I mean, then obviously the late turnover returns, you know, made the score look the way it was. But, I mean, I thought it was pretty thorough, and, you know, what a difference a year makes. You know, people forget, I think this really does get forgotten that Baltimore beat the Patriots twice last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's such an emphasis on the playoff game that you forget that they beat them on Sunday night, that wild 31-30 game.
Right.
So if you're the Ravens, you're looking like you turned the corner a little. You know, but you know, nobody's accidentally 11-4. I mean, I just laugh at that. Well, look who they played. How they beat. I mean, I wish we would get out of that mode. Style points. And, you know, well, they beat them by 2 and they beat them by 30. So the team who beat by 30 must be bad. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it doesn't work that way. It never has. I don't know why we, you know, we're in an era now, John, as you know, as you listen to, you know, prognostications, is, you know, nobody wins, everybody loses.
Yeah.
And if you can't win, I guess you're obligated to tank.
Yeah. Sounds like it, doesn't
it? I've heard more tank talk in sports in the last, like, 2 years, you know? I mean, I never heard that before. I thought, you know, it was about winning the games. I mean, does anybody go back and, let me ask you this real quick, I want to get off the subject, but does anybody really go back and say, well, the Patriots won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, but they only won them all by a field goal?
Nobody says that.
Does anybody whine about that?
Nobody.
No, I mean, that's why I don't get it. You know, that's the thing that, you know, are we to the point now that we break down things so much that, I mean, I all the time get the, well, the 72 Dolphins, you know, they played such a weak schedule. Well, you know, other teams have played weaker schedule. How come they're only on one team in 94 years that go undefeated?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know.
It's all relative.
It's just funny to me, but I mean, listen, the Patriots, it's 5 playoff appearances in a row, 5 straight AFC East titles, 13 straight winning seasons, 11 double-digit win seasons in a row. You know, what more do you want? I mean, do you want the Taj Mahal, you know, and the Hope Diamond at the same time?
For any naysayers out there, this is the one guy, Russell Baxter, that still today considers the Patriots a dynasty.
Well, I mean, until it slows down. You know, now it's funny, if we go by common sense, the Patriots will lose on Sunday because, you know, they've gone 14-2, 13-3, 12-4, so it's their turn to go 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, all joking aside, they're also playing the Buffalo Bills, who, you know, I don't know how many times they might have filed to get out of the AFC East over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
It's not gone well for them in this series. They've beaten, the Pats twice?
Yep.
With Tom Brady?
Yeah.
The quarterback, and they also didn't beat Matt Castle, if I remember right.
That's right.
The 2 times they played him. I mean, this has been a very, very lopsided series, and there's a lot of things to get excited about in Buffalo, despite the fact that it looks like they're going to finish last. I mean, you have 3 rookies who are promising, and a team that's leading the league in sacks.
Which is something I think that the Patriots and the fans need to concern themselves with this week, because mm-hmm. that could be how Buffalo puts a scare, if not beats them this week, because they can get after you.
I mean, all it takes is a couple strips. I remember when they played earlier in the year, the Patriots had the, you know, long field goal drive to, you know, to win the game 23-21. I mean, this is, you know, these Patriots intrigue me because they're more like the Patriots. And I think I say this all the time now. Every time, these are more like the Patriots that were winning those Super Bowls. They, the blood and guts, the win the game. I mean, the fact that they won 41-7 last week, it, to me, it wasn't even so much Baltimore. It was the fact that it was anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. Speaking of the Ravens, they've got to go on the road to Cincinnati with their hopes hanging by a thread. How does this team rebound in a single week time? Can they rebound?
Well, I think they can rebound, but I don't think the team that they're playing is going to let them. You know, this is really Cincinnati has won the division. They're in the playoffs for a third straight year, which is an unprecedented feat for that franchise. I still think of all the teams that are in the playoffs right now in the AFC, they have the best defense. I'm semi-biased only because I picked them to win the Super Bowl before the season started. I watched Joe Flacco, and, you know, for a team that's offensive-driven, there is no running game. And he's thrown, I want to say, 19 interceptions now compared to the 10 he threw all of last year, including the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Too much is put on him. Defensively, they're a better defensive team than they were a year ago when they won the Super Bowl. But they're a little too much mistake-prone. The Bengals have not lost a home game. I think they want to keep it that way. They're obviously going to have a home playoff game, which they had, you know, back in 2009 when they last won the division. So
yep.
It's not great. Cincinnati wants a little momentum. You know, Cincinnati, we got a couple teams in the playoffs in the AFC, and Cincinnati and Kansas State that have not won playoff games in more than, you know, the Chiefs haven't won one in two decades. The Bengals haven't won one in 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They would like to put an end to those streaks because we don't talk about those streaks as much, but they're pretty painful for those fan bases.
Right. All right, so then if you have Cincinnati beating Baltimore, then you have the Jets probably clinching things by winning at home against the Dolphins clinching at home against the Jets, correct or not?
You know what? I go back and forth on this one because watching Ryan Tannehill now be sacked, and it looked like the offensive line had turned the corner.
It did.
But I want to say, 11 sacks the last two games, four in the Patriots game?
Yeah.
And then seven more last week. If the Dolphins got shut out, which has been a very rare occurrence in the NFL. And, you know, just for what it's worth, I really kind of hope, and I'd be a little disappointed if the Jets did pull the plug on Rex Ryan. For all said and done, for all the problems, for all the craziness and all that, and the Jets actually have a chance to be an 8-8 team, which is an improvement from a 6-10 team. They won more games than they did last year, despite the fact that they can't seem to figure out a quarterback who can't turn over the ball at least 23 times in one season, which has happened for the last 5 years to them. I get the sense that the Jets upset Miami on Sunday.
I think if they do, I think there's no doubt in my mind that Rex Ryan comes back again.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, I really hope so because I think he earned it. I mean, Sunday would have been, you know, they're playing the Browns, who usually play very respectable defense. Although I haven't figured out what has happened to them, the last month and a half. I mean, that's a team that's lost 11 or more games 6 years in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
I keep on waiting for them to turn the corner, and it's more like the Indy 500. You know, they just keep turning corners.
Right.
And turning and turning. But I think I kind of like the Jets on Sunday to kind of spoil things. And I had Miami in the playoffs before the season started as one of my wild cards. But I that game last week getting shut out left a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. And the Dolphins got run on pretty well last week by the Bills, and the Bills have a tendency to do that. So,
all right, so if you have then Baltimore losing and you have Miami losing, do you have San Diego winning and getting that last spot?
I think I do. I think I do. I mean, it's going to probably disappoint the Pittsburgh Steelers fans who need all three teams, including San Diego, lose and then for them to win. And I think they might get two of them. But I don't think they're going to get all three. And I think San Diego's playing with confidence. They didn't even get a great game from Philip Rivers last week, but they're more balanced than they have been in years. Philip Rivers has cut back on the turnovers. That's also because he's not getting sacked as much. Remember, he sacked 49 times last year. It's funny because a lot of people ask me in my comments, well, why don't you consider him for comeback player of the year? And I don't think he's coming back from anything other than mediocrity. I don't think he's coming back from bad seasons. And he wasn't hurt. I mean, I always put that into consideration with comeback player to me. I would call him John a bounce back player of the year, but not a comeback player of the year because, you know, we know what Philip Rivers can do. So, You know, unfortunately for Kansas City, their defense has kind of done the disappearing act. Their tackling was horrendous last week in Indianapolis. Al Smith had a bad game in terms of turnovers. And, you know, as strange as it sounds, you know, Andy Reid, 9-0 at one time, and, you know, headed to the playoffs. They've already wrapped up a playoff spot. It was, you know, it would be, I hear people speculating the Chiefs might rest people. I'd be stunned. I don't think Andy wants to go into the playoffs, you know, 2-5 in his last seven games.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. And that's a question that, you know, frankly, a week or so ago, we thought that the Patriots had have to think about, but the win over Baltimore keeps them from that. I know that the time is relatively short today, so let me kind of hit the NFC like this. You've had Packers, Bears, you've got Eagles, Cowboys. Winner wins the division, loser stays home for the offseason. Who do you think are the two teams most likely to survive?
I know a lot of people excited. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers is going to be back. To me, that didn't make a difference.
Yep.
Seen Jay Cutler against Dom Capers' defense for the last 4 years or so. He has struggled against it, even without Clay Matthews. I think the Packers win the division. The Bears' run defense is just deplorable. And, you know, be it Tony, even if Jason Garrett plays quarterback on Sunday, I like the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. As much as I saw 54-11 last Sunday night, the week before I saw 48-30 Minnesota against Philadelphia.
Wow. You know what? And frankly, it would not shock me if Tony Romo found his way onto the field.
Mm-hmm. I, to me, it doesn't matter. Listen, DeMarco Murray, we keep on mystifying why they don't give him the ball. He's the, you know, this is not a definitive statement because it's not factual. But he could be the most well-rested 1,000-yard running back in NFL history.
Mm. It's true. It's very true.
Well-rested.
What is the particular significance with San Francisco playing at Arizona?
Well, Arizona wins, New Orleans loses.
They're in, right?
They get in, yes. And you know, I have a tendency to lean toward, you know, when I think of coaches of the year, it's based on expectations. I know some people expected Kansas City to bounce back with Andy Reid. The Panthers have been smoldering as a team the last couple of years, but I defy anybody who told me the Cardinals were going to win 10 or 11 games this season.
Yeah. Well, I'm
anyone. I defy anyone who told me they were going to win 8 or 9.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I would agree. They've had quietly and under the radar about as much as anybody can be under the radar in the NFL. They've had the season that probably deserves that kind of kind of plaudit.
And think about this. I'll leave you with this, John.
Yep.
3 years ago, the NFC West was won by a 7-9 team. Arizona could have 11 wins this season and finish in third place in the division 3 years later.
That's a remarkable turnaround in that division, isn't it?
And the Rams could be 8-8.
Yep. You could have the Rams 8-8, and you could have the Niners, Cardinals, and Seahawks all with 11 wins or more.
Well, it's going to be, listen, that pass rush of the Rams, which has sacked Russell Wilson at least 13 times the last 2 times they played, even though the Seahawks won both games.
Right.
You know, once you lose that home game the first time, I'll be curious to see the hangover effect. Don't rule out the fact that San Francisco can still win that division.
Yeah, they can with a win. That's correct. Russell, thank you very much. I'm glad you had a great holiday with your family. Are you going to be able to join us next Thursday?
Oh, absolutely.
You realize that next Thursday, if the Patriots get the bye, you know what next Thursday is, right?
Game show Thursday.
Oh my goodness! You see, you know how we think around here. You know how we think.
And by the way, next Thursday I'm going to unveil all the playoff scenarios. I have them all figured out.
Sweet. All right. Well, then there you go. That sets the table for the new year about as well as we can set it. So, game show Thursday and playoff scenarios. You'll definitely want to tune in next week, without a doubt.
Absolutely.
Thanks, my man. Happy New Year to you. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, John.
All right. Russell S. Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Cold Hard Football Facts, Bleacher Report, Yahoo Sports. You see him all over the place, and you, of course, have him right here every Thursday inside Patriots Playbook. We doing one more break here, Kev? All right. We'll do a break here, and then we welcome in Mike Rodak, formerly of ESPN Boston, but now he's ESPN's Buffalo Bills reporter. We get the very latest on the Bills as the Pats and the Bills wrap up with Week 17 of the NFL regular season coming up this Sunday right here at Gillette Stadium. Mr. Rodak joins us next in the Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play Online for just $79.99 a month, guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1-18-14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Homeward stretch for Patriots Playbook on holiday week between Christmas and New Year's. Again, our only program of the week today, and then we will be off for New Year's Eve next week, just like we were off for Christmas Eve this week. And then I've got the Friars and Seton Hall Pirates next Tuesday anyway. If you just need the fix, you can have it there. The guy we're getting ready to talk to would probably like to do that, perhaps. Maybe he will. I don't know. Mike, will you possibly be at the Dunk next Tuesday for the Big East opener?
I wish I would be. That'd be awesome, but I don't think I can make it.
Well, Mike Rodak, for those that don't know, he obviously formerly from ESPN Boston, covered the Patriots, and then he has been hired this season. We talked to him right before the season opener, in fact, as the Buffalo Bills beat reporter for ESPN, and that's what he has been doing all season long. But I mentioned only about the Dunk in Providence because he's a proud graduate of Providence College as well. So you're doing us proud, Mikey. You're doing us very proud.
Yeah, it was a tough one Saturday. I don't know, is Kevin talking trash this week?
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, he hasn't had much of a chance to talk too much trash. And for those that might be, you know, unaware, Providence battles his UMass Minutemen this Saturday in Amherst, no less. So that's a big game this Saturday.
Well, I'll be cheering for Providence.
You will not.
Will too. I hate UMass.
Wow.
It's just I root against them.
I've never heard that, Mike. Have you?
I have not. That is strange.
More of a BC supporter, Rodak.
I'll take it. Hey.
Okay. Well, yeah. Career. I suppose we can take all
Also have a big bet riding on this game, Rodak, so I need to make sure Providence takes care of business.
Really? Oh, you got all right.
So, some frothy Budweiser involved.
Whoa. So. Okay.
Well.
Are you going to share if you win?
On weekend.
You'll share?
More than happy to share.
Okay. All right. See? All right. Well, then there you go. We'll
even send some to Rodak.
Whoa. Well, see, then I guess we have to put things in the proper perspective, right, Mike?
Of course.
So what has it been like? What's the experience been like for you following a Buffalo Bills team that, you know, I think we've seen glimpses, and then they pull a stinker or two. Last week was not that. That was a heck of a game for that team last week.
No, that is exactly what I think they wanted to see out of this team, you know, months ago when they're first starting off this little rebuilding project of theirs. And really what drove that win Sunday was the defense. You know, Mike Pettine, as we talked, you know, 4 months ago now, really changed the way they do things on that side of the ball. Offensively, I mean, they're still such a work in progress. You know, the quarterback is an issue, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, but this Sunday's game was exactly what I think Doug Marone wanted out of his team. They're out of the playoffs, but they're still fighting, and they're still clawing, and I think that could have an impact here on Sunday.
You know, the Patriot fan would look at this, Mike, as I'm sure you're aware, and say, oh, geez, you know, we're going, this would be 20 wins and 21 tries against Buffalo, which is absolutely, that's mind-boggling in this day and age of parity in the NFL. Does that still have any play at all with anybody in that locker room in Buffalo?
I really don't think so. I mean, look, they've cleaned out, I think, a lot of those guys that, who were part of those teams that lost, you know, year after year after year, and it's really... You only have a few guys left who have been around from that really old regime. You know, Kyle Williams, Fred Jackson, some guys who are just thirsty to win out here. Otherwise, it's a pretty young team. It's one of the younger teams in the league. Just had an offense, young quarterback, new pieces on defense that they brought in who don't really have, you know, memories of that So I want to put more stock into the even the recent history in that series.
Sure. Well, you brought up the word quarterback. So who's going to play this Sunday?
Hey, we'll see. We don't know as of today. Doug Marone said he still hasn't made his decision on who will start. So I'd say at this point I'd lean towards Manuel. He kind of hinted today that he liked what he saw at practice from Manuel, which is kind of surprising because I think even a couple of days ago it seemed like, yeah, you know, they'll probably play the safe route, you know, send out the last game and let's go into the offseason. But if he's healthy, I think Marone wants to have him in there. He wants to see what he can do. So if I put my money on it, which I don't, unlike Kevin, I would probably pick Manuel.
Well, I would caution Patriots fans to say the last time we had an issue with the opponent's quarterback would have been just a couple of short weeks ago before Cleveland, and we know how that one turned out around here, that it was by the skin of their very teeth that they managed to win that one. So, you know, a team that doesn't really have tomorrow to play for certainly can be dangerous. You know, and considering what Lewis did for the team in a 19-0 win over Miami last week, would Manuel be the right choice?
You know, there are some grumbling, some people who kind of say that at this point in Manuel's career and looking at what Lewis did both the first time he was injured and the second time that Manuel went down, there's sort of this groundswell that, oh, yeah, you know, Thad Lewis is actually the better quarterback right now. Statistically, that's probably not true. You know, Thad Lewis is really the bottom rung of the ladder as far as NFL quarterbacks this season. Manuel's not that much higher, but if you're talking about a guy who, you know, you want to come out and win a game, I think it's still Manuel who they want out there.
Okay. And I guess I can understand that, I think, you know, because you went with the guy to begin with, first-round draft pick. You want him to model your team, your franchise around him, new coaching staff, everything. Then I can understand why he would certainly get your first choice. The other thing that I think that Patriots fans should concern themselves with this week would be over Buffalo's defensive front, which leads the league in sacks. And you got to figure out a way to keep a somewhat reworked offensive line in shape to where they keep Tom Brady relatively clean. Is that how Buffalo can win this game in your estimation, by, you know, turning up the heat on TB12?
Oh, of course. That's basically been the recipe for any time they've won this season, is really dialing up the pressure, like you said. And it's, you know, obviously last week you look at 7 sacks, I believe, against the Dolphins. You know, the Dolphins, they give up a ton of sacks. But this defense has consistently done it all season long. It's really 4 guys. You look at Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, and Marcel Darius, who all of them are probably going to make Pro Bowl. And then Jerry Hughes, too, they brought in for trade from the Colts. Kind of an underperforming guy who's really blossomed here. So it can come from all directions. And if, you know, from what I've read, the Patriots, you know, you definitely have some shuffling pieces as far as Mankin moving outside and, you know, Josh Klein starting at left guard. So, you know, I don't know if the Patriots will bring in an extra tight end to try to help, but it's something that it's probably number one on the list as far as things they need to account for.
Yeah, I think Josh Klein last week he was certainly the unsung hero of the week, only because you didn't really notice him. And then you realized, oh, they didn't really get to Brady all that much. So that's certainly a benefit there. What do you feel like the difference ultimately for Buffalo could come in this game? Is it strictly from the pass rush, or what else has to happen in your estimation for Buffalo to come in here and do the unthinkable?
Well, I'd say they have to do something offensively. On the road this season, they've had some pretty serious issues moving the ball. Really, the one exception is their game in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago. But before that, man, they've looked bad on the road, passing the ball, throwing the ball. They just can't get anything going. So, you know, even whether it's Manuel or Thad Lewis starts, I think the key is you've got to establish the ground game. And that sounds, you know, ridiculously cliche, but they do have 2 pretty darn good running backs out here. And, you know, I haven't tracked the Patriots' run defense perhaps this year, but I'm sure that it doesn't seem like it's the best in the league. It's probably not the worst in the league. So there might be an opportunity to exploit that. And it seems like when the Bills have won this year, it's when C.J. Spiller, who is as hot or cold a running back as you can possibly get, when they've won, it's then when he's on his game. So he's just the guy who can break 70, 80-yard run at any point, and
sure,
that happens, then, and yeah, the Bills might be in business, but I'd say it's a longer shot.
I fully expect that to be the focal point for the Patriots defensively, is, you know, working on the running backs in particular, and making sure that the run is stopped, and then whether it's Manuel or Lewis, making one of those two guys, you know, beat them with their arm. You know, you have a unique perspective here, having seen it from both sides here, but Tom Brady saw these numbers earlier this week. 53 touchdown passes, almost 6,000 career passing yards against Buffalo, his most against any other single opponent that he's faced in his career. Why has that come against Buffalo? Have the defenses really been that bad?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been kind of a shuffling of defensive coordinators and schemes, especially over the past 4 or 5 years. You look, I think it's now their fourth defensive coordinator in 5 years. They brought in guys like Sean Merriman, kind of tail end of his career. It hasn't worked out. A lot of veterans who just you know, kind of fell on their face. And but I mean, I guess I can't really stress enough how Mike Pettine has really changed this. I think it's definitely there's a sense of optimism here from that side of the ball, where for years it was awful run defense and kind of underperforming defenses. But man, this year they played well. So I wouldn't expect Brady to put up the same sort of numbers.
What, in your estimation, is different about this Buffalo team to the positive than what the Patriots saw back in the season opener and only won 23-21?
Well, I think it could be the quarterback. And you look, that was E.J. Manuel's first game. Pat Lewis was backup at that point. Now, you know, whoever it is out there, they've had some experience. They've had some time in this offense. That was the first time that the Bills really trotted out this whole no-huddle approach that they want to use. Mm-hmm. So they've had a chance to fine-tune that, and I think ultimately it's led to less no-huddle. But offensively, while the results haven't been there, I think just the comfort level of having a quarterback, even if they're a rookie, in case of Manuel, having a quarterback in week 17 when he's seen, you know, NFL defenses all year, as opposed to first game of the season, the jitters that come with that, and just the, you know, the pressure of trying to start well against the Patriots.
Right. Defensively, this team gave up only 103 yards to Miami. How the heck did that happen?
Hey, it was a pass rush. That was first and foremost for them. It was continuous. It was one guy after another. Cornerback, their nickel cornerback, their slot cornerback, had two sacks in the game, which I think describes just how badly it was going for Miami. But I think the Dolphins only one pass midfield three times, and never got to the red zone. They pretty much abandoned their run in the second half of that game. So once the Bills sort of got them on their heels, then they had a chance to close them out.
Yeah, that's so impressive, though, when you have a Miami team that had something to play for and you get dominated like that. I mean, that got my attention in a hurry, I have to admit.
Yeah, it did for me, too. I mean, that was the first time they've won back-to-back games this year, the Bills. Now we're in sort of uncharted territory. Can they make it three straight? You know, there's a little bit of intrigue to this, even though it's the end of the season.
Right, absolutely. So what's your offseason going to be like?
We'll see. I do want to get back. I wish Brad Stevens was still around, you know. In the Big East. I was kind of looking forward to that when all the moves happened last offseason. So jumps over to the Celtics. It's a little bittersweet to see them, but I'm sure there'll still be some great action at the Dunk I can catch this year.
Good. I hope that you do, and I hope you come by and say hello when you do.
Of course, always will.
And we'll see you this Sunday, I feel quite certain.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mike, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And happy holidays. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
You too. See you later, John.
All right, buddy. Thanks. You got it. Mike Rodak, ESPN reporter for the Buffalo Bills, formerly from ESPN Boston, covering the Bills as he does now. And he'll be here on Sunday for ESPN covering the Buffalo Bills as they take on the New England Patriots. Let me wrap up here with just a couple of quick notes here. This comes from Daryl on Facebook, who says, "This is a game that New England needs to keep itself ramped up for. Here's hoping that we can keep the same momentum with the running game and go into a bye week with some steam." He says, "Patriots 31, Bills 20. All right. And then Joe writes on Facebook. He says, "I'd like to preface this with a big thank you for all of your hard work. I hope you had a happy Christmas, enjoyed your time off." Well, thank you, Joe, but not necessarily all that hard. It's a labor of love. He says, "My nitpick, McCourty, what are you doing running into Ed Dixon's backside?" Use proper tackling. Has this team not sustained enough injuries? Way to channel your inner Mark Sanchez, but please don't do that again. You're too important. And Ron Winter and company, come on, man. That's, of course, the head official from last week. My prediction, while I don't think the Bills will roll over, they have an offense that can't score. I'm also not sure that E.J. Manuel will be playing, as we just heard from Mike. So he practiced today what was limited. C.J. Spiller has been up and down, but I will say that you got Spiller and Jackson who are both over 830 yards rushing for Buffalo. And this is a Buffalo offense that's averaged better than 200 yards average per game on the ground over the last 2 weeks. They have an AFC best ground game, almost 150 yards per game average on the ground behind those two guys. So you can understand where you think, where I'm coming from in terms of Patriots have to make sure that they control the Buffalo run first before they do anything else. But he also says here, Joe does, he says, Pats are at home, game still has meaning, Pats are still trying to hold on to the two seed, gunning for the one. If an upset happened in Denver, he says, Pats 31, Buffalo 13. Okay, very good. He says, I'll be heading up to Gillette this weekend with my mother for my first Patriot home game. Considering I live in Jersey, school and sports taking up most of my time through the years, I've been stuck having to go to MetLife to see my Pats. And as a token of my gratitude for yours and the PFW boys' hard work, my mom and I are wondering if it'll all be possible to give you guys some baked goods made by us. And when we come up this weekend. Wow, that's pretty awesome. Yes, it's always possible. I don't know if you can get him in the stadium, though, so what you might have to do is drop Kevin an email to webradio@patriots.com. That might be the best way to go, but that's really nice of you to do, Joe, and thank you for that. And congratulations to you to, you know, take your mom and thank her as well for all the hard work that she's had to endure while you go through school and work and everything else. I think that's a really cool thing that you're doing, so that's a good job out of you. Let me leave everybody with this one from email. It comes from Joe in New Jersey, who says, I'd also like to preface this with a big thank you for all of your hard work. I hope you had a happy Christmas and enjoyed your time off. Actually, I think this is the same Joe. I'm looking at the same email here. Yes! Oh, so Joe, you double-dipped. You didn't think I would see the Facebook post, so you came to the email account and you took care of it. Well, then you clearly know how to get a hold of Kevin. I was holding that one in for the end, just because I always like to end the show in a nice upbeat note, and I read your Facebook post instead. So there you go. So Joe, just send another email to Kevin. We'll take care of that. Folks, thank you very, very much, for all of your, participation, for listening, for being a part of the program, for your, comments, criticisms, your predictions, your nitpicks, everything that we've gone through the course of the regular season, because it's always been a lot of fun. You know, as I mentioned earlier, this is wrapping up the end of the 13th season that we've done this program here on Patriots.com radio. It's certainly one of the longest running programs of its kind in the country. You know, along with PFW in progress, and we couldn't do this without the support of the Patriots organization, you know, and of Patriots.com itself, and of Fred Kirsch, who oversees, you know, the entire operations here, digitally speaking, for the Patriots. So, we're grateful that we have forward-thinking people here in Foxborough that really want to do this and want to get this information and this form of entertainment out to those of you who crave it, who want it, who go looking for it. You know, whether you live here in New England or you live outside of New England and you just want to know more about your favorite football team or you want to know more about the NFL at large, that's what we strive to do on a day-in and day-out, week-in and week-out basis throughout the course of the season. We are not through here in the playbook by any stretch. Oh, no. And as we mentioned a couple of times earlier on the program today, if you tuned in late, if the Patriots do win on Sunday and clinch the bye, then the bye week programming next week. It's only one show next week because of the New Year's holiday. So we will be back here 1 week from today on Thursday, the day after New Year's, with a version of Game Show Thursday again. So you want to tune in for that because we'll have a hoot and a holler, and it'll be a lot of fun. And we also have fabulous prizes up for grabs. And so everybody wants to win a prize for the New Year. That'll be fun. So we'll do that next Thursday should the Patriots win. If the Patriots, by some chance, do not get the bye, we will definitely be back next Thursday because we will have a playoff game to preview for next week. It'll be a home game at Gillette at the very least, so that part you have to look forward to, but we hope there will be a bye, and then if there is a bye, then we'll have Game Show Thursday, and we'll look at the wild card games next week, and then we'll preview the playoff opponent the following week, so that means we'll have at least 2 weeks more of playbook programming for, you know, the 2013 and slowly creeping into 14 season. So that's what we'll look forward to, and that's what we'll expect to do. So for everyone who's been a part of this one, for Kevin, you know, for Eric, for everybody here at Patriots.com and Patriots.com Radio, hope you've had a great holiday. I hope that you take it nice and easy. You spend a little time with family. Hug somebody out there. Don't squeeze them too hard. Just right. You know what I'm talking about here. Take it slow and easy out there. Don't get your, you know, feathers all ruffled. Try not to fret over the Patriots. This is a ride that I certainly have enjoyed. I mean, they made me pull my hair out from time to time, but honestly, well, not as much as it's pulled Kevin and Eric's hair out, of course. But it's been enjoyable because it's been so unpredictable and in some ways unexpected. So that's what you're going to try to do. Enjoy the ride, because I think the ride's going to continue here. We'll see how long. Pats, Bills, Sunday, 4:25 Eastern Time, back in the playbook next Thursday. Happy New Year to everyone in Patriots Nation. On the west side, wanna wish it on the way, yeah. Oh, and I sigh and I fall, and I know that I'm never gonna see him again. On the west side.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.